July 6, 2023, it's a Watt for Pedro show. Watt for Pedro show. Happy Thursday. Started off with John Coltrane. It's a live excerpt. November 28, 1962. Little piece of autumn leaves. Even though we're in starting summer. Or we're in summer. Then we had Yankee Gaucho with Relief from Addiction. And because of those Estonian software engineers with their Skype invention, I got Rahan Tata from Yankee Gaucho, Portland, Oregon. Welcome aboard, Rahan.
What's up, brother?
Yeah, big love. We got to give Alec credit for the connect. Thank you. Music we trust. Thank you so much. Gracias. Okay, I want to learn about your trippy mix of things, which I think music is most righteous when it does. So I want to learn about your journey through music. So please bring your earliest musical recollection.
Well, this whole project.
No, I want to go back when you were a fucking chico, a little muchacho, right? When you were a boy.
I was sparking with the piano by my parents, and I ran away from that cabin.
Okay, where's this?
Yeah, that's right. I grew up in Chicago. Okay. I always kind of had a piano in front of me, but I was never into it. You know, I was into sports.
Did you have the privilege of having the piano lesson torture bout thing?
Oh, yeah, since I was five.
Okay, I've had cats on the show. That almost made them quit music.
Oh, yeah, I did for a while. Okay. Then my parents were nice enough to let me pick up the guitar. But I totally appreciate all that experience.
But it's usually later, right? Because in the moment, it's like, God damn.
Yeah, you're a little kid. It's still
right. Let me ask you this.
My blood, you know.
So. Was the piano in the pad?
Was it in the what?
Where you grew up, in the pad.
I was in the school one for a while, and then my current home. My parents stayed.
No, I'm talking about way when you're a youth, you know?
Yeah, right. So we didn't have one in the house until I was using like a little Casio at home.
Yeah.
Practice. And then we had the piano at the school.
Let me ask you this. At school, were you in like the marching band or the choir, shit like that?
No, I did, I had some clarinet by like age 10.
Yeah.
You know, band, school band.
Sure. Like kind of concert band, right? What'd you play?
Yeah.
What'd you play?
I played clarinet and that.
Whoa, licorice stick.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm just finishing this book on Charlie Christian, and you know it's 2 years with Betty Goodman. It was a big deal.
Yeah.
It's funny, nobody rocks a clarinet these days, but in those days, I guess it could cut through and shit. What was the first record you bought with your own money?
First record. Oh, by the way, the name is, I pronounce it Ron Don.
Oh.
Like it's spelled, yeah. It's confusing because people think I'm like, you know, Spanish descent, but I'm not.
Okay. It's like saying Josie, though. You know, sometimes you want to just say Jose because Josie.
Oh, yeah.
There's some Josies, but not a lot of them. And look where I live in fucking Pedro, right? When I came here from Virginia, and that where did you get that? But you know, like Sly Stone said, it's not where you're from, it's where you're at, right?
Yeah. Exactly.
Okay, Ron John. I got it. There's a fucking place in Florida that makes like swim trunks called Ron John.
Oh yeah, it's a surf shop.
You know about it. I-95, right? Yeah. Okay, let's get back to the thing. So the first record you bought with your own money, please.
First record? Well, I didn't start listening to music until I was around 8 or 9 or 10. And the first tapes I bought.
I don't care about the media.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when you're a kid, you ain't got a lot of money. So I'm interested in what you would spend your money on, right? If it was okay.
Yeah, well, the first two I remember was Red Hot Chili Peppers and Heavy D.
And what was the... I remember Heavy D. And I think the Chili Peppers, I'm on one of the records. They thanked me. Because they played like... they opened up for the Minutemen like their second gig or something. We know those guys. They were always very kind to us. What was the first gig you saw live?
First one, I think it must have been Primus.
Okay. Some bass.
I watched them a bunch. Primus, Soundgarden, those were my favorites.
I remember playing Chicago.
I never made it to like the Pearl Jam, but some of those big, really bigger shows I never made it to.
Les Claypool had me open for Primus in Chicago at a hockey rink. You want to talk about bad sound?
Oh, yeah.
Fuck. But, you know, you worked the room, right, vaudeville.
Yeah, so, the crowd was probably great.
So now, oh, yeah, yeah, they didn't want us to play. Throwing shit at fucking Nels Klein, right, throwing money, quarters.
Oh, right, yeah.
Fucking assholes. But anyway, you know, humans, interesting species. I'm still learning about them. Being one myself, I'm curious. How did you get on the guitar? Did you buy one at a thrift store? Did you get one for Christmas? How did you end up on the guitar?
Well, So my parents realized I was skipping piano lessons. I was like kind of ditching class after school classes at this kind of academy that they wanted me to go to. So. I remember the conversation, but we negotiated for guitar because, you know, I was listening to this 90s music, and that's what I was into. So they got me a classical guitar. An acoustic guitar,
right? And so you're tripping. Why doesn't this sound like the guitars on the records?
Everybody
says that, you know. Even me and D Boom thought it was some studio magic. No, it's electric guitars with amplifiers.
Yeah. So it took like about 3 years, and then finally I got my Stratocaster, which I still use the blue Mexi Strat.
Ah, so
it's still hanging on the wall. I still use it.
Let me ask you this: not after school, like graduating, but after school in the afternoon, did you get into the basement band, garage band, bedroom band?
No, not too much. I was kind of a little bit of a hermit, or maybe I just didn't have music friends because we were playing sports mostly together.
Ah, okay. So like kind of man alone mode for music.
Yeah. And then, it didn't really go too far in college, so it was a little bit of jamming.
Yeah.
I did one or two open mics on some like instrumental things I put together, but it just never went very far. And so for like 10 years, you know, kind of was a lull. Until I was down in Corvallis in my 30s and like really started listening to music, and then I started playing bands, started playing keyboard in some bands. And
Corvallis, did you go to, I'm thinking Corvallis, Oregon State?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, lots of connections there.
Yeah, right. Well, like two big schools in, well, I guess in Portland there's Reed too, but, okay, so that's where you start, like, playing with other cats?
Yeah, that's where, I had the first band I was in down there was because I had a home series, Hammond Organ, in our garage. And my friends started a country band. They're all super talented. They know how to play music. They know music. And they let me join, so that was cool. And we did that.
Ah, so you used the piano skills to work the organ.
Yeah, exactly. It all came back around. That's why I said, you know, I wasn't upset.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? Ron John, that's a great lesson to the listeners, man. It's never wasted with music. You never know. No. You're invested in the next time you don't even realize might happen.
Yeah. That's music is like, you know, it's entwined in all the, like, best and the worst of life. So.
Beautiful. And what were these guys called?
That was called the Psych Country Review.
Okay. And this is where you're doing your first gigs with band members, right? As a band member.
And we had, the guitarist, a close friend of mine, he played on this record on the third track called Morning with Fame. He's playing the electric guitar on his track on that one.
What about this? I got this demo. Milonga para una Nina.
Oh, yeah, those are some of the...
I want to play it. Can I play it?
You got the demo?
Okay, here we go.
El que me miro penando por causa de un mal amor no encuentra nada mejor que cantar y de pensando. Y si ando boca colando, qué culpa puro tener. escuela con canciones se olvida de que de
the pick of the week kind, so that you don't have Behind your ears. Wait, what's your mouth? Your bells sound. Tattle told. The titters and patters tell on you for whom the bells toll. Those who make the weight may ride the pony. Come on, my family tree, bugger boy, climb on. Pucker bugging me on the lawn. Out of the cradle and onto the saddle. Unbridled? You bet. Don't spit out the bit just yet. Got more bark that needs a mitten. Out of the cradle again. This could go on endlessly unless, you know, you really should. You sprung, that is. We're cut from the same wood. Your sprig, which I raised on, bended, knob, knotted, knee. It's tis of thee, a twig part of me. Out of the cradle, then. What do you eat? Pecker, I am white ash good, pecker wood. Out of the cradle and rockin'. What's knocking? Come on, it's time to kick it. Now rock it. Who's rocking with me? The band played on. We'll see how long. In the beginning was the words, and then there was light. For there is no rock god where there is no spotlight. When the music's over, when the music's over, when the music's over, first, chorus, heat, repeating till you get it, go, with the jingle, jingle, jungle, jangle, till you buy it. The kids want candy, can do, I wrote candy too. Kids are always right, no counting for taste. You cook the beefsteak, I'll keep my bookkeep. Truth be told, truth's my thing. I kinda tell a lie. I tried, I shall not, and I shan't. Why would I? I'm a cherry tree, Cherie, a la verite, the truth. I'm bootstrapped for molasses and sap tap happy. I'm nailed to the boards. I rule the stage door, front center stage. Now you get your asses on the dance floor. Go! I'm a cherry tree, mon cherie. Come on, I'm first world friendly. My roots run deep. I'm more street than you know, but I gotta do a show. 12 and teen is plenty. Tell no one. Are you growing with me? When the bout breaks, you'll be holding me. Tell me now. Don't fail me now, or I'm a felled tree in a forest ground, making a big sound, coming down for all the suckers and twigs, sap, tappers, and here. Don't cut me down. Don't cut. Can't stand the buzz band saw. Put the axe down. Let the logs fall. Let the limbs. Let them grow. Listen in. Listen to my sap flow. Listen to my leaves blow. Watch me blossom. Listen to me bloom. Trim me. Prune me. Like you should. Don't cherry pick me clean for a piece of pie. Let me stand. Let me make my stay. A monument to a man. Planted here on his own plot with his own pot. Watch behind your ears. Between. Watch your mouth. Who tattletold? The titters.
Thank you. checking Rook's tattoo on my neck. Ah, heck, it's a wreck. Ah, heck, a wreck at its peak. It's wild. And now is our chance, a wreck of a dance, our chance for romance. And that is that. That, ladies and gentlemen, is that. That is that, nothing's missing. Our life will be blissing, and there's no need for hissing, only wild applause. No hissing on this day. No, it's not. It's feeling good, it's feeling hot. Happiness is what we've got. Our day and our night, our time to be free. Yeah, I do agree. Meet me by the apple tree. Our life is right tonight. Time to take the took. Time to take a look. Time to write that book. One day, our day will be wild. Our night will be wild. We own this clock. Best on the block. That's us. Yeah, we'll find that missing sock.
Oh, yeah.
Watt for Pedro show. Started that chunk of music off with Yankee Gaucho doing a demo of Malaga para una Nina and Falconetti. This is Waiting for a Bass. I think it's for me. But we'll play it anyways. A Scenic. Scenic. But spelled trippy, right? N-I-C-K. African Head Charge after that. Brand new. This is a band that goes back. Buddies of the pop group. Push Me, Pull You. Zach Rosen with Bicycle Sock Tight. Raymond Pettibone. Old Gort. Who Tattled Told. Swenson Klein out of Canada. For I Am. Jad Fair and Samuel Locke Ward. Their collab. This is Our Chance. Peko Jin. That's Jin. D-J-I-N-N. Where they get the word genie, people. It's kind of a demon, though. A devil. Zebby. It's the tune. Ruth Maschelli with Psychic Surgery, brand new. St. Abdullah and Jason Nazary with Looking Through Us. And finally, another demo. Yankee Gaucho with Dijam. Oh, now we do Spanish, right? Dahame K. Mivaya.
Okay. That's nice.
I'm a slow learner.
Leave me alone.
Yeah, no shit. Yeah, I'm a slow learner. I'm getting
it. Yeah.
So, do you get to record with these guys? Do you get to tour with them, or is it just local Corvallis scene?
This is my band that we've had. This is Portland, man.
No, I mean we're back in history still with.
So that was just local. We actually had this sweet place in county land, unincorporated land. It was 10 acres long.
Oh.
10 acres long, 10 by 1, huge creek in the reserve down below. And we had this huge pole barn.
Yeah.
And we were throwing big shows because it was down there at the time. It was the best place, best venue, I think.
Okay. Okay.
Bands. We went there. We had some shows. We did a big festival when they were going to kick us out. So. It's called Watermelon.
Even with all that open space, you still got noise complaints.
No, we didn't. That's why we did. Across the street, there was a huge subdivision.
Yeah.
It was a weird, like, mixed kind of thing. Massive, you know, hundreds of people across there. And so we got a couple, but only really when all the cars started coming out.
Right. Track homes and all.
Yeah.
So what, then you moved to Portland?
Yeah. I lived in Portland. I was kind of back and forth. I was traveling, and so before I came back to Portland, I went down to Argentina, and that's like what started this whole Yankee Gaucho project.
Okay.
So Gaucho is like cowboy.
It's kind of I should tell Vaquero is really how they kind of say cowboy, but not in Argentina. It's a Gaucho.
Yeah, and they call Americans Yankees.
Right, Yankees. Right.
So some kid who saw me playing actually in the States right when I got back, I was at a hostel down in Austin, and this kid was like on a business trip, but he was a Gaucho. He's from Argentina. And he saw me playing like out in the back, you know, area or something. He's like, oh shit, you play Gaucho music? Yeah, so he took me around to some open mics and stuff, and he called me a Yankee Gaucho.
Whoa, okay.
That's not a name. That stuck. That was like 10 years ago.
Okay. Yeah,
I was down in Argentina, and that's why I started. I learned a few songs down there when I was traveling. Studied with a great teacher. Spent a bunch of time every night, really, in this huge kind of restaurant thing. That you know, 10 o'clock, my teacher would play a dinner show, and then at midnight, 11 or midnight, like all these people piling every single night with all the instruments and all these different rooms.
Yeah,
they'd still going, and they'd start playing all these traditional songs.
I know the guitar's big there. But isn't the bandoneon really big there, that kind of accordion?
Yeah, the bandoneon.
Yeah, where you have to kind of play it in time. It's not just bellows. You have to, like, squeeze it in time. The other accordions, are a little different. It's a bitchin' sound. Yeah. Okay, and then you come back and you put together Yankee Gaucho, though, in Portland.
I went back to Corvallis, like kind of had it, and actually I played with My friend who plays violin on the first track,
yeah,
the second part of the first track, which is a traditional song, me and her played together in Corvallis for a good year, whereas we were just playing Gaucho tunes and some covers, we play like any kind of American cover that's a little bit Spanish, like Man Who Sold the World, something like that. We play stuff like that.
David Bowie.
Yeah, that's right. It's got like a Spanish cadence, the music.
Sure. You know what? Next hour, I got some live duo stuff. Maybe it's kind of like that.
Yeah, it was guitar violin. We kind of did the melodramatic thing, but it was also kind of ripping.
Okay. And how does that evolve into the band?
And she's up here now, so we still play.
Okay.
The band. So when I got into Portland, I finally made my way into Portland, back into the big city. And I just started hitting up people on Craigslist, honestly. The guitarist was
Craigslist!
That's right. It was 5 years. Mark Kellogg was the first, so we played together as a duo for a while. Then the bass player jumped in probably, a year later, less than a year later. And we were a trio. And that was going okay, but, we're playing the bars, playing rock shows and stuff. And I was like, we gotta get going. So I asked my friend, Jay Lever, played the Hearts of Oak. I asked him to join, and he brought his drum kit, his congas, sets up his congas and the drum kit, and he started wailing on it. So kind of had to step up the game to hang.
And what was the first gig you did with the whole band?
The whole band, the first one. We played at Slim's a lot.
Are you talking in the city on 11th Street?
We were down in St. John's.
When I'm thinking of Slim's, I'm talking like Market, right? South of Market on 11th Street.
Oh, no.
There's a Slim's up in Portland? Okay.
Yeah, north Portland.
Okay, this Slim's in the city in San Francisco. It's owned by Boss Gags.
Oh.
Yeah. Same name, different dude. Okay.
Yeah, that must have been it, because we were playing there a lot.
Yeah, I remember when I first played Portland in the early 80s, there was only one place, the Satyricon. Cat named George Rennie. Look, he's spit an image of Carlos Santana.
That's right.
Yeah, but he's a Greek dude. Shows to go you, you know.
Yeah.
But D. Boone went through that deck. He kept playing, didn't stop. And you know who was at that gig? It was Greg Sage, the Wipers guy. It was a real big deal for us.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, those three Wipers' first albums were such a big thing to us,
Yeah, I like.
Yeah, really good, really good. So that first gig, you guys get rock, especially with a drummer, right? Yeah, you're rocking.
Oh yeah, it was some adjustments, the volume had gone up.
And what about your songwriting? Now instead of writing for Man Alone or for a duet, you're writing for a rock band, huh?
That's right. So it was the same kind of songs, but we had to kind of fix things. I mean, our bass player was loving it. He's a drummer now. He didn't have to just play along with the vocals.
Right. That's a skill in itself, because you got to kind of double up as a drummer guy in a way. The rockabilly guys, that's where they get that slap in the strings against the neck.
Yeah. That's what James Brown says. He walks by every single player. He says, "What do you play?" "I play bass." "No, you play drums." "What do you play?" "I'll play guitar." "No, you play drums."
"No, you play drums." One time I saw Jim Brown play, he had three trap kits, and they were playing the exact same thing. You know how tight you have to play so it's not Flam City? Oh, man. It was tits. But I think he was heavy on the display. I think he was a drummer man himself originally as a kid. He also was a Little Richard impersonator for a little while.
No shit.
Interesting life, yeah. Interesting. Shine Shoes, he did all kinds of shit. Yeah. Heavy dude. I got to see him a few times. Big inspiration. And Bootsy was in the band for a little bit. And Catfish, Bootsy's brother Catfish, ran the rhythm guitar, and he was in charge of the clams, right? I think it was $5 a clam. And you could get a clam
just for wearing the wrong clothes, not just hitting a bad note. at the airport, I heard. Not even on stage, right? Look, we're at the end of the first hour. July 6, 2023. This is Wap Peter Show. Special guest, Ron John Dad. Hold tight for hour two. July 6, 2023, second hour, Watt from Pedro Show.
One by Willie Nelson.
Thank you.
Thank you. huecos, quedaron inquietos, an echo in my tongue. Thank you.
Watch for Pedro Show. Start off the second hour with Yankee Gaucho doing Never Cared for You. And this is the live duo version, though, from 2018. Then we had Bombs Prennan with Botero, Gary Lee Connor, Screaming Tree, means songwriter, man, Way of the Future, Sunk Kevin. After that, absolutely nothing. This is Austin, the son of Ivan Julian, Cynthia Slay. Richard Hell and the Voidoids and Bush Tetris. Finally, again, live duo 2018 version of Yankee Gaucho doing Debt. Yeah, how long did this go, the duo?
That was a single show that I played with. We play in all the arrangements, so I played with every single player in my band as a duo or a trio.
Yeah.
We've been playing a lot as a trio with me, bass, and drums. And then this one was just me and the drums, and we've done that quite a bit, actually. I don't know if it's because someone couldn't make it. Sometimes it's because someone couldn't make it, or sometimes we just started to do.
And the show must go on, right? The show must go on.
Exactly. This was at Alberta Street Pub.
Yeah.
2018.
Okay.
Freddie Trujillo. We played with Freddie Trujillo.
Freddie Trujillo. Okay.
Yeah.
And when did you bring these guys into the studio the first time? People.
Oh, boy. That was fun because we recorded as a trio.
Yeah.
You know, all a bunch of songs for a demo. And they were good enough that we could have used them. But then I asked Dave to join.
Yeah.
So... like, well, we tried overdubbing, but
he tried to play to the stuff. He tried to play drums and stuff that was already recorded. Yeah. Oh man, that's tough. You know, Earl Palmer did it for this Elvin Jones solo in this crazy ass movie called Zachariah, where he's a cowboy.
Yeah.
They got the filming right, but they fucked up the sound. So Earl Palmer went and by watching. You know, Elvin,
he produced
it. Yeah, that's incredible how the cat could do that. But he was second call guy with the wrecking.
Yeah.
After Hal Blaine. Yeah.
You tried.
Okay, you tried. So what you do, you just fucking cut bait and just re-record everything?
We started over, and it was probably better for that, you know.
Yeah, sure.
You know, not just for the recording, but also to kind of have some new ideas, too.
Oh, yeah, it could evolve.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So we started practicing a little bit. Stop trying to rush it. I mean, this was all demo stuff that we're just trying to get something online so we could, you know, get shows.
Sure.
But then they did start to evolve. And then we did re-record some of those demos for the album. You know, it was probably 2018. I was unemployed. I was working construction a lot, and in the winter times I'd get unemployed. I'd sit on unemployment, and 1 year, it all kind of came together. The concept of the album, the songs, the kinds of overdubs, instruments that I would have and who would do them, and the originals. You know, this is like it's like half originals, half Argentine traditionals. And I didn't want to make an album unless it was at least half originals, or at least we'd really reworked. You know, showing our creative kind of skills.
Right.
And it came together like that. And, it was like over a period of a year, cranking away, working with Ezra Meredith of Deer Lodge.
Sure.
We did all this. We did a labor trade. I installed a bunch of windows with them all around his house.
All right. There you go. So, a little barter rock.
Yeah.
I'm into it.
All that sweat's in this album now, for sure.
That's bitch. Look, I got one more from the duo days. That gig, right? This is Grania Tijuana.
That's right, JJ Kale tunes.
Yeah.
In time, I'll report my observations for all to sort. Tiny cop cars overboard, a disappearance, a building short on ground. Guarding orders, refusing sleep.
Waffle Pedro Show. That chunk of music start off again. One more from the live duo gig from 2018, Yankee Gaucho doing Ganaya Juana. J.J. Cale. Much respect. Bobby Lee's after that with Limousine. Luke Stewart, Jarvis Earshot Quartet. Anechoic Sunset. Midwestern Medicine Within Time. And finally, Yankee Gaucho with Zamapara Ovidate. Okay, and what about the Yankee Gaucho tour for that out when you get it done? No, that's when the situation happens, right? Yeah.
I wish. We're all working, folks. Full-time working folks. So, best we can do is some short trips. But it's all going to be pretty local. We're playing a lot. We're playing tonight, actually, the Drunken Prayer at Welfare.
What about I-5 tour, like Seattle? And
I'm trying to look at the festival, summer festivals now, trying to kind of make a list. And Alex has been helping me out, trying to get some gigs and get the word out. Now that we've got this album, play a lot.
Sure, and you were talking about like you wanted the album to be at least half original, but you say part of your technique is taking some Argentine things and then reworking them your way?
Yeah, so the first song, that's an old school Argentina folk tune from like the 30s. The second one, also, that's more like a 50s. The second one is like the Zamba para Olvidar. That's like probably the most popular folk song down there. And then the last two, which are combined into one track, those are old folk songs as well. And so they're if you listen to the way they do it is like just very like kind of porch folk, and I kind of like did some kind of psychedelic things with them. We kind of sludged one of them out, just kind of put a different flair. Actually, the second one, that's Zambalobita, I added a whole beat. So it wasn't 3/4, now it's 4/4.
Okay.
So that's some Yankee shit.
Okay, talk about 3/4 and waltzes and shit, because the thing, the other thing that Argentina is known for is fucking tango.
Yeah.
Right. Taff Falco, I did a tour with him once. He went there to learn how to do that stuff, that dancing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's a famous dude in Tyler. He teaches that.
Okay. And, But it's not really, you're more the folklore part.
Yeah, so I was up north. The tango's in Buenos Aires.
That's right, the big town. Yeah.
The rest of the country has got, it's very regional, the north.
Oh, absolutely. Patagonia.
They've all got their own styles, the rhythms.
I should also tell the listeners, the more south you go there, the colder it is, people, because it's south of the equator.
Cool. Yeah, and it's full of Germans, too.
That
makes it really cool.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, and Italians, too. There were a lot of immigrants, right?
Yeah, that's the Patagonia is like the Nazi haven.
Well, that's shit, too. I think they called it the rat line or some shit. Yeah. They snuck them over. I had on the show a couple months ago an Argentina band called Reynolds. You know Reynolds?
No.
They're trippy. The drummer man, Miguel, he's got like Down syndrome, but he kind of works it into their music. Yeah, it's kind of his like, therapy, lifeline kind of thing, but it's also the thing that makes their band really original. And in fact, they gave me, because it's two guys who play guitar or keyboard with him on drums, and they asked me to do a whole album of bass for them, bajo, so I brought it. And it should be coming out soon. So that's my most recent connection with Argentina.
Yeah, I think I decided to go down there. I didn't really know about what I was going to get into. I was playing in that country review, country band, and I thought I'd go down there and, meet some kids and, play some open mics, rock and roll band style, get a cheap keyboard. But I went down there because what intrigued me was the musical culture. The rock and roll culture. down there. Argentina's like very strong since like the, you know, 50s and 60s. They're doing all that garage rock.
Right. You know, well, like, I got to play Buenos Aires with the Stooges at a soccer arena, and it was wild. It was fucking wild. Look, we're at the end of the second hour. July 6, 2023, this Juan Pedro Smith, special guest, Ron John Dada. Hold tight for hour three. July 6, 2023, it's third hour, Juan Pedro Show. Thank you. For Pedro Show, start off the third hour. Yankee Gaucho doing Wandering Companion. Spextree after that with Piano Number 14, 2.0 version, I guess. A Produce, brand new, Lost River. And then Yankee Gaucho. Here's a tune. Death, Booze, Saxophones.
That's the one.
Tell me about that tune.
that's saxophone. That's another Corvallis blood. Levi, Uncle Levy. Uncle Levi, close friend of mine. He would play this kind of freak Coltrane kind of sax. Total freak. Preacher's son from Minnesota. Just like loved to let loose. Kind of let loose. Went a little too far for a little bit and then reined himself back in. He's got a couple kids now. Great friend of ours. And I was writing this song. So this song is epic because it's the beginning of when I started studying flamenco, which I do here in Portland now, which is kind of a different thing than the Latin folk. But I was learning this stuff, and I was like, I want to kind of fuse this with like some soul music or something. So I kind of put it together, and then I just had this jam, this like E minor jam, the funky bass line that our bass player put on it.
Yeah,
it's like a kind of a soul 1-2. Kind of rim shot with a cymbal, kind of rock, soul music, you know, style rhythm.
Pistol Pete. Eddie Benjamin.
I was like, Levi, take this out and play it. And we ripped it out, and the crazy thing was that I was messing around with organ, so I played all the organ tracks on my Hammond keyboard, and I had, like, just laid them down, but when I sent it to him to practice on, it didn't have that. Didn't have the organ track, so I sent it to him. He put something amazing together, like two tapes, just did his thing. And then brought him in the studio, laid it out like pretty quick, and then I added the organ. And I was like, God damn, he was playing like the same, it complemented like perfectly, like what I was playing on organ.
Wow.
Like, same idea, this is like amazing.
You know who had a great organ trio with the sax was Jimmy Smith.
Yeah, love Jesus.
And he would do the bass with his feet. And I, this cat I'm going to help with the tour this fall, he saw this gig. And Jimmy Smith thought this couple sitting at a table near the stage was watching his feet. He's like, motherfucker, stop looking at my feet. Like he wanted to steal his technique, you know?
Yeah.
Stop staring at my feet, motherfucker. And then he got a tablecloth and put it over his feet. so he thought they were trying to steal. I heard Robert Johnson used to turn around when he played too. Like you ain't gonna see where my put my fingers, you know.
Oh yeah, those pioneer dudes. Yeah, they're funny.
Right. Here,
sounds like everybody does it.
I want to play this Pedro Camino, huh? The Feet in the Road, parts one and two. It's a big journey. Here we go.
It is.
Thank you. quedado inquieto. Ego me mata.
Watch for Pedro Show. Last music for this edition. Yankee Gacho. Pedro Camino, parts 1 and 2. Then we had Mio Clono with Mioclonic Sequences. And finally, Yankee Gacho. And this is two tunes, right? Siete de Abril, Zama del Che. Okay.
Yeah, the last one.
And Che is people. The way they say tío in Mexico, or dude. The way we say dude, that's what Che is in Argentina.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, yeah.
Yeah, so if you're wondering about the Motorcycle Diary author, that's the dude.
Yeah, that's what he was the one that had in mind when the cover art was a picture that I took without the soldiers, of course. I was up in the Willamette Mountains, and I was just doing some random poses, and my partner at the time was taking pictures. I saw this one, and I was like, I'm going to put some military in there, and I was just thinking about this, like, Che Guevara movie I saw where they're, like, laying in the mud while military is like kind of hunt them out.
I think in Bolivia, right? I think it was in Bolivia.
Yeah, all the way up.
They end up cutting his fucking hands off for proof.
Oh yeah. Yeah, slit his neck.
Yeah. Bastards. And I guess he had like maybe asthma and psoriasis. It was kind of hard for him in the jungle there.
He had an inhaler.
Yeah, Fidel kind of like scissored him.
Yeah, they're both medical students.
Yeah, but I mean, he kind of like, I don't know, like kind of went there. I guess Cuba was like no more for him. But I think he's the only Argentine on the grandma, right, on the boat going over.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
So we already hinted at your plans on doing some gigs in celebration of the record now.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, a lot of times when you finish a record, yeah, finally got that done. But then you start thinking about the next one. Are you doing that?
That's right. I'm absolutely thinking about the next one. You know, in the back of my head, it's going to help get this one out. You know, we're pretty local. This is the first time doing any kind of press or anything. So I think it's only going to go so far. I got a lot of compliments about the music in all its formats. But I'm absolutely thinking about the next, you know, it's not going to be a one-shot wonder.
Is there going to be a rerun, or are you going to try different things?
Well, you know, when I was sitting around in COVID, or pandemic, and I had conceived, like, kind of a mellow, much more mellow. This one's pretty energetic, pretty kind of crazy album. So I was like, I was listening to a lot of African music. I was like, I got to do some duos, acoustic guitar, bass. You know, more acoustic guitar, singing, and like maybe stand-up bass, or you know, smaller percussion, different string instruments, but also like synthesizer, keyboards, and some experimental stuff. But you know, we're gonna put out another rhythm one like this too, because we got there's more music to it.
Oh, did you have outtakes?
What's that?
You had outtakes from this album?
No, there's just other songs that we do that, you know.
Oh, you're talking about material. Okay, okay.
Yeah, we got that. We're working on new ones.
You're going to record maybe the same place? Same.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That's our home. That's where we're going to do it.
Yeah.
So, it's a similar sound. That's just great.
And Ron, John, if people want to find out about you on the internet, where do they go? Do they go? There's a website, a Bandcamp? What's going on?
Yeah, we got Bandcamp right now. I have not put it out on all the streaming services yet because I want to get the physical copies out there. So go ahead and visit yankeegaucho.bandcamp.com. We'd love to have some more popularity on that website. Get connected with other bands, you know, that community kind of thing that Bandcamp does.
Yes, absolutely.
And then it'll eventually be out there on Spotify. Albums and all that stuff.
Have you ever thought of bringing the band down to Argentina? I mean, that's some De Niro. I know that's some fucking change here, yeah.
Yeah, we'd love to. I'll tell you, I'm a little curious. I'm waiting to see, trying to spread that word down there. You know, I was telling my teacher about it. And I'm a little curious, you know, that old school folks down there, they might not like what I'm doing with the music. It's very traditional folks, you know, but the young kids probably into it, because this music, they don't make this music anymore, the folk music. It's
right.
Old. And there's been some people who, like, tried to do some rock stuff, but not really that much, so.
Well, I was just curious, you know, because, yeah, you know, like Sly said, it's not where you're from, it's where you're at. And, like, you use that as
that's
your
right.
go-to to, like, for your own personal expression. But, yeah, it's also a big culture thing. It'd be trippy to bring it back home and say, see what you did to me? Yeah, I wish you the best of luck and stuff with these gigs coming up. And then when you go back in to make round two, please tell everybody.
There's, on the back, so those are all the guest players. You look on the back,
yeah.
And at the Bandcamp site, there's the main four of us. That's me, John Azir on bass,
yeah.
Jay Weaver on the drums, Mark Kellogg on lead guitar,
yeah.
Guitar. And on the back is all the guest players. So we got at the top is Ezra, recording engineer, and then you got Rosalie back there with her violin,
right.
Josh Holmes with his electric guitar, who's been sitting in with us lately.
You want to tell people about your people, right? Because
absolutely.
It's important, yeah.
Yeah, Levi, Uncle Levy's back there. Levy and Sax, and that was his wife and a friend of mine, Margot, who painted the cover.
Yeah.
And then Yumi Torimaro is playing the flute, the bamboo flute. She's the only one who I didn't know before we did this.
And you think everybody's going to be, is everybody going to be involved with round two?
I hope so. I always said when I was doing the album, I always loved those, you know, those 70s albums where they've got, like, you know, everybody comes in the studio.
Sure.
Everybody kind of plays a little bit. I love that.
Yeah.
That's like what I want on my albums. Yeah.
Look, can I put an invite out? When you get the next album done, will you come back on the show and we can play it and talk about it?
Absolutely.
Oh, that'd be bitching. Most bitching. Till next time, then. I can't wait to have you back on the show. So safe seas for you.
Thank you so much, bro.
Okay. Big time. People, July 6th, 2023, this Wap Peter. So keep your powder dry.